South, oh, let's say Alabama, and you went to a McDonald's, it would be a little strange to hear the young man behind the counter say, "Would you like some fries with that?" Don't we kind of expect, and maybe us Northerners take a little delight in hearing instead, "Y'all want fries with that?" Our accents give us away many times. If I were to ask you, after listening to this sermon, to determine from what region of the country I came from, I think you'd probably be able to figure it out. I mean, the signs are obvious. I speak with no accent. I speak with as much of an accent as the professional news anchors. Therefore, in your mind, you've determined that I come from the region of the country that sets the standard for the rest of the country. That's right, Central Indiana. Now, obviously a little bit of a bias there. In whatever region of the country you live or were raised, you believe that you speak normally. It's everyone else that has an accent. And when that stranger comes to town and he starts speaking, it's pretty clear right away that he's not from around here. And that's the situation that Peter found himself in the text before us. Here he was, trying to blend in, trying to remain unnoticed, but his accent, his manner of speaking, gave him away. Listen to these words from Matthew's Gospel, which speak of Peter in the courtyard of the high priest when Jesus was on trial for his life. From Matthew 26. "Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, 'You also were with Jesus, the Galilean.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you mean.' And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied it with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, 'Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you.' Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." This is the gospel of our Lord. Peter was not from around there. He was not a Jerusalem city boy who hobnobbed with the Jewish leadership. He was a fisherman from Galilee, which comparatively was pretty backwoods. When he spoke, the others gathered in the courtyard figured that out pretty quickly. And since they knew that this Jesus who was on trial was from Galilee, and that he normally had a band of disciples around him, they made the determination that Peter was somehow connected to Jesus. But the point for today is not that Peter sounded different. It's that he sounded different. And what I mean is this. In one sense, Peter spoke just as we would expect him to speak, as a fisherman from Galilee. But in the more important sense, Peter spoke as we would not expect him to speak. He spoke as an accuser of Jesus instead of one of his disciples. We remember bold Peter's promise earlier that evening when Jesus had told all of his disciples that they were going to fall away that night because of what was going to happen to him. And after Peter told Jesus, "I will never fall away," Jesus told him, "This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." But Peter vowed, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." Now it's easy for us to be a little hard on Peter for his blatant denial of Jesus. The Gospels portray Peter as being very emotional and very strong-willed. So how could he do it? How could this strong-willed Peter deny his Lord? How could his manner of speaking this night be so full of betrayal and abandonment? Well, look in the mirror. What do you see? Do you see someone whose accent, whose manner of speaking denies Jesus? What's that? Obviously not, because you're sitting here in chapel. Well, then look harder. Look deeper than you're comfortable looking. Look into your thoughts, the unspoken words of your mind. Any denials of Jesus there? Any times when you thought that coming to chapel was a waste of time? Or it was simply a time to come and sit next to someone special? Any times when you've been glad that the preacher was not talking to you or about you, but he was talking about someone else? Guilty as charged. And because we deny Jesus with our accents, our manners of speaking, we deserve what any denier of Jesus deserves, to be separated from him forever in hell. But what kind of accent does Jesus have? In this brief account from Matthew's gospel, Jesus doesn't speak. Now, Luke records in his gospel that when Peter finished swearing that he didn't even know Jesus, that Jesus looked right at him. And that look communicated a message, very deep disappointment in Peter. And that's why Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, if Jesus' manner of speaking, of his accent, had remained that way for Peter, perhaps Peter would have remained in despair. But Jesus didn't leave it that way. He spoke again to Peter before he ascended to heaven. He made a special appearance to Peter when he had risen from the dead to prove to him, to show him he was alive. That night, Easter evening, in the room where the disciples were gathered, Jesus appeared and said, "Peace be with you." And then perhaps most powerfully for Peter, Jesus spoke words of restoration on the seashore when he told him, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep." You see, Jesus' accent, his manner of speaking, gives him away also. Jesus comes to us after we have despaired of our sins, and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Through his spoken word, Jesus declares to us that eternal life is ours because of what he has done in our place. Through his visible word, Jesus comes to us and forgives our sins and strengthens our faith through the water of baptism, through the body and blood of his supper. Now, thinking again about that night that Peter denied Jesus, I suppose in one way we wouldn't blame Jesus if he had continued to turn his back on Peter forever, if he had cursed Peter instead of later blessing him. But that's not the way Jesus speaks. Jesus' accent does give him away also. When we hear Jesus, we're sure that he loves us. We're sure that he wants us to be with him forever in heaven. Listen to Jesus. Listen to his life-giving words. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive us for all the times that through our words, spoken and unspoken, and even through our actions, we turn our backs on you. We have no excuse for our denial of you, and we plead for your mercy when we speak against you. Thank you for speaking words of comfort to us when you forgive us of our sins. Through your word and sacraments, continue to build us up so that we become more and more bold in our witness to you. Help us to share the good news of the salvation you won for us with as many as possible, for we know that it is only through you that we may live forever. Grant your blessings on us as we resume our regular class schedule. Help us to make the most of the blessings that you have given to us. In your precious and saving name we pray. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in peace. Amen.